Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's call on the WHOIS Review Team Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. Today is Wednesday, February the 5th. Right now it's 9 a.m. and it's 1400 UTC. On the line we have Jim Galvin, we have Dennis Tan, we have Naoki, we have Nishit, we have Takao, and myself. Edmund is listening via Adobe Connect or in the Adobe room. We are missing Samart and also Jody. So with that, let me ask the operator to start the recording. Operator, could you start the recording?
The recording is on.
Jim, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Steve, thanks to everyone for jumping in here with us. So the primary agenda item here is we have a draft document. We're starting to pull together some pieces, and we should, you know, take a good look at the outline. We'll focus on that for today, and maybe some discussion of the content. Let's just try to dig into this document. Now, Noki did give us some comments on the mailing list relative to the document, so I'm thinking we'll start there when we're as we jump in here. But so let me first just pause and say, is anyone have any issues with the agendas or anything else that anybody wants to talk about first? Okay.
Hi, this is Nishit.
So please, Nishit, go ahead.
Yes, I've asked a question related to that language tag, if you have gone through that, Nish.
Yes, we can jump right to that. That's the comment on the list.
Okay.
So please, yes, go ahead.
Okay, so what I want to ask is, are we missing with the language tag as a data element? For the domain name, internationalized domain name under, and if yes, is it required to discuss its requirement for internationalization?
So any comments from anyone? Anyone want to jump in here?
Jim, I didn't hear the question very clearly.
So he's asking about the language tag and...
for the domain name or for the contact information? There could be a lot of...
I'll repeat my question again. Okay, so what I want to ask is, are we missing with the language tag as a data element for that particular internationalized domain name, which is going to be registered by a registrant? So I'm talking about the language tag for that domain name, not for its data element. Because that data element, I mean, the language tag has not been specified in the list of data element which we are considering.
So we had an email message on the mailing list about this, Steve, just for clarity. Nishit had sent a message to the list on January 30th asking this question. My response is I don't think language tag is a separate data element because it's part of the encoding of the data. So you know the language as part of the encoding. I mean, isn't that true? That's really a question. I also thought the language would be indicated as part of the XML. But go ahead, Nishit, please.
Okay, so are you saying that language check should not be will only be reflected as an attribute in XML?
Yes. You've got a little choppy there on me, but I think I understood what you said. And so I would say, yes, data element, language tag does not need to be a separate data element. The information is part of the encoding of the data. I believe that's true. We can certainly confirm that, but that's my what I understand at the moment.
Okay.
So I will take as an action to ask some folks here with me and just to make sure. But anyway, that would be my answer. If no one has anything else to suggest, we can go with that for right now, and then I'll do a confirmation with some folks here. Okay, so that was fine. Any other questions then from anyone or about anything before we jump into the document? Yeah, actually, I did think of something I wanted to ask. I'm remembering now. Steve, you posted that survey to the list. Was that just a request for us as individuals to go off and do something, or were you suggesting that the working group should take an action to do something?
The request is to provide some feedback on the survey question itself. So the survey will be administered, to some registries and registrars. Right now, they're doing the pre-testing of the survey to make sure that, you know, we're asking the right questions. So, for example, Naoki's comment, on some of these questions, that's missing. So those type of feedback will be most valuable. Once the survey is locked down, then, we might out to some of you again who work at, registry, registrar, that needs to deal with internationalization to fill out the survey. Essentially, the goal is to get kind of the ground zero data, what is currently being done today. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, so it is a specific request of this working group to respond. Will you be collecting responses, any comments that are put on the mailing list, or do we need to formulate something as a working group that you can then take back and submit?
Either way is fine. So the service, the questions on the feedback on the mailing list, I'll channel back to the study team.
Okay, so
to formulate a group response, but just provide response. Any feedback will be good.
Okay, so individuals can review the survey and reply on the list, and you'll just comment. We don't need to try to find a consensus view from this working group. You'll take whatever information, any comments that you get, and pass them on as appropriate.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All of that sounds good. So let's jump into talking about the document. And Noki, you had a
Jim. Before going into details, would it be possible for me to go over kind of the major sections, what those are, and the thinking behind those, so that the group can comment on overall whether these are the correct sections or are there major sections pieces missing. Would that be okay before we go into the details?
Would folks like Steve to talk about the outline first, do a short review of what he's got?
That would be great.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Then thank you, Steve. That'd be great. Please go ahead.
Okay. So we have We have two documents. One is this outline, and the other document was a table that defines our requirements. So this document kind of takes some of that and put it into the text. The goal is to produce an interim report by Singapore meeting, which the deadline is in about a month. So that's the goal. The document contains some boilerplate sections, for example, background. These are mostly taken from the charter, what we are, why we're doing this, essentially. At the end of the background, we talk about a set of related efforts to implement the recommendation. And there are three efforts: an expert group to determine the requirements, a study to evaluate available solutions, a policy development process to determine translation and transliteration. So it kind of sets the ground on, what are the different pieces and what this piece is doing. The second part is, pretty much the same boilerplate. It talks about, what the working group is chartered to do, what are the members. One thing that's missing is I need to still do an appendix, list all of you and your biographies. So that's in the making. But essentially, breaking down my expertise, what the description is. And then the third question is, kind of at a high level, what are the requirements that needs to be determined? This is pretty much from the charter. And then I thought, instead of going directly to proposed requirements, is to kind of, for the working group to think and articulate a set of principles that drives the requirement discussions. Many of these principles are discussed bits and pieces in various discussions, but I thought to put them together. So this is a section where I would recommend the working group, if the working group feels it's valuable, I would recommend you to spend some time to articulate these principles. Because some of these requirements, if we can derive them from the principles, it's much easier to defend than, those without principles. But it's something the working group should, can consider if you think it's necessary. And then, I go into the proposed requirement. This is really converting that table into into text. And, as you see in the original table, we broke down, into organizational name, personal names, and address as one kind of major category, and then requirements for other data elements. So for each of these data elements, each of these, data categories, rather, it's really wrong for data elements, and name, what the elements covered, what the proposed requirement is, the rationale, and any discussion. So the data elements covered, look at, the data the elements we surveyed and cover under this. The proposed requirements, are the ones that's been discussed. Where more are needed is the rationale and discussion. Here, the rationale section, could be linked back to the principle, right? So if one of the principle is to be simple and reuse, existing standard as much as possible to bring consistency, then, the rationale is, for example, the status is, EPP status has been used, extensively in GTLD registries and registrars, therefore it makes sense to reuse them. And then the last bit of this discussion is to capturing the nuances in the discussion of the requirements. These are, for example, disagreements, other kind of discussions that would enrich the proposed requirements. So I've done this for you know, I provided an outline for each of these data elements. I need to fill them out. As you can see, and then in the last section, you know, as in any paper, is to kind of really go into detail on how this effort relates to other efforts and how we are different. So that's kind of the general outline of the interim report. So that's a quick summary, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Let me first ask if anyone has any questions or discussion on what Steve presented to us.
Or are there things that, you know, immediately jump out of your mind that this is, you know, the wrong section or the section is missing, you know, the organization is wrong, or it ought to be organized differently?
Well, I'll jump in.
Hi, this is Nishi.
Oh, so please, Nishi, go ahead.
I just want to ask that is there any reason why some of the data element category like dates and email address is left as it is without any description?
So you're asking whether some of the data elements like email is left out? That's because I haven't got around to it. This is kind of a this is just an outline to make sure to sketch out the major components. The details in many sections are missing, really. Actually, almost in every section are missing. But this is just an outline to be filled out.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I have a question, though, Steve. The section of related work, the fact that it comes, you know, after everything, is that kind of typical for the way these things are done? I mean, I think of related work as being part of the input process. And so, I mean, if that's, you know, the way that we look at it, I would have put that section in front of the principles.
That's a good feedback, Jim. I think it can be done. The way related work handles is there are two ways. One way is to put them at the end and put your content first, so that the reader can, you know, immediately jump to the content. And the other aspect is to, as you suggested, put related work before the actual, you know, as kind of a background section. I don't mind, you know, organizing it one way or the other. So if you want to organize it that way, you know, sure, I can move it. No problem.
Well, I mean, it's a question, I guess. I'm not particularly vested in doing it one way or another. Does anyone else in the working group have an opinion? I mean, if no one wants to speak up and agree to move it, I'm happy leaving it. So I'm not hearing a groundswell of support for moving it. So why don't we just leave it where it is for right now, see if that question comes up again later.
Uh-huh. Okay, sure.
All right. Okay, so at this point, let me suggest that we jump in and focus on the content of the document. So I'm going to take as consensus here that this outline is fine for now. So now we'll just begin to build out, you know, what we need for text. And, you know, filling out the sections that aren't there. So I want to ask a question first before we jump in on talking about the content that's here. Steve, you've already pulled together, you know, quite a bit of text and put a bunch of stuff in here. Would it be fair to say that you'll generally try to do that And so this group will focus on review of text, or did you want to make a specific request about filling content for sections, or did you have some other plan in mind?
I think that it depends on the sections. So, for example, the sections on, you know, background information, you know, kind of boilerplate information, you know, I'm happy to write and, you know, the working group to review if that's okay with the working group. I mean, I'm always happy the working group wants to write those sections as well. Where I think I would need more guidance really is, you know, starting from the principles section, that really for the working group to tell me what the principles are that, you know, you think we should be putting in here. And then for the proposed requirements section, what I'm also happy to do is to write, you know, to the extent of the working group deliberations, because the working group delivered most of them, but there are bits and pieces, especially, for example, in the, you know, rationale and or in the discussion section, those are really missing. So I think in those areas, I would expect people to, you know, to gave me pointers, like tell me, you know, the high-level points that I ought to include, and I can, you know, wrap text around it. So those are the kind of guidance I would need from the working.
Okay, thank you. That sounds reasonable. Okay, so let's turn it around and give folks a chance. What I think I'd like to do is I'm going to, you know, not dwell on the background, and so sections one and two, it is mostly boilerplate and stuff. I do actually, I think that I do want to dig in at some point here on the composition and charter, because I want to do something different with those large list of questions that you put there. But I think we can do that on the mailing list rather than here on this call. I don't want to, if somebody has something they want to jump in and do that they think is important to bring up here, I certainly don't want to exclude that. But I figure let's jump right to sections three and four and, you know, focus on the meaty content here for this group while we're on the call.
Sure, Jim.
And Steve, please go ahead.
No, I can share this via the Google document if the working group find it useful, because that's the tool I used to edit, and I felt, you know, then people can see and then they can provide comment on the Google document itself. So, but that's kind of a side issue.
Well, it's interesting. We should actually ask, is there anyone who would not be comfortable working directly in the document on Google Docs? So the choice here is, do we want to just, you know, share a Word document, or, you know, and then related to that would be you'd have to share specific comments and text and stuff on the mailing list, or do we want to, let's see, put this up as a Google Doc and then folks can go in and edit it directly. So the question, to phrase it for the phone call here, is would anyone prefer that we not use Google Doc? So I'm not hearing anything, Steve, so let me suggest that, yeah, at the end of this call you put that there and you'd send out a pointer, a link to it.
Sounds good.
And then folks can look at it there. So, okay. Back to the document. Anyone, assuming that folks have had an opportunity to look through this since Steve had distributed it, anyone want to jump in with any kind of comment or question or addition for sections three or four? So I'll jump in and say that there is one thing that occurred to me that I'm not sure if it's a principle or not, but I think there's a point that needs some discussion somewhere in the document. I mean, it feels kind of like a principle, but not really in the way that you've got them created here. I think we do need to talk about the fact that we've chosen to do requirements against categories, not against specific data elements. And we should provide some rationale and discussion around why we made that choice. Any comments on doing that, anyone? I mean, the best that I can think of for replacement for that, Steve, is to do something in, as you know, the beginning of Section 3, mm-hmm. to say something in there about this category idea that we've adopted.
This sounds like a methodology, right?
Yeah, it could be.
So perhaps what we could do is, how about the following? You know, we have done a lot of, you know, data element work. Perhaps we can put those data elements in the appendix, and then you have like a section to describe, you know, why we choose categories against elements, and what kind of elements we considered, you know, refer them in detail in the appendix, and here are the categories that we come up, so that will flow. And then after that is the proposed requirement section for each of the categories. Would that work?
So you're suggesting listing all of the data elements that we did work with and identified as an appendix, and
yeah.
I like that. I agree that this category thing is a methodology. I'm still not clear on what you were suggesting to do with the methodology. Create a new section, or you wanted to add some methodology text into the principles section?
It could be in the principles, or it could be before the proposed requirements. Right? So either place, principles is perfectly fine.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm actually not opposed to even, if we had an appendix to all the data elements, you know, the appendix could be about methodology, and we could explain there the categories and why we have them so that,
yes.
you know, it doesn't detract from getting right to the work product, and
yes.
then people can, you know, make it more of a background kind of thing, but a supporting background, so it goes into the appendix.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any thoughts, comments about this? Well, then, for the moment, let's go with putting it all into an appendix for now, and we'll see what that looks like.
Okay, sure.
Anyone else want to jump in with a comment or question? So I think the big thing that we're left with here, other than that, I mean, without trying to get, you know, editorial on the phone call here, so I think that you've done a good job of pulling together the text that was in the chart and putting it into the document here. And I like this organization, you know, data elements covered, the requirement, rationale, and discussion. And we obviously have some sections that need to be filled out. Steve, do you have any of these sections that need to be filled out jump out at you in particular as areas where you would like, you know, more assistance? Or are you prepared to draft text to get us started here on all of these open sections?
Yes, actually. obviously the principal section need the working group to think more and articulate a bit more these principles. In terms of the requirement section, let me share with you the table where I will need more feedback on some of those tables, because it's unclear to me whether we finally lock down some of those requirements. So let me do that here just now. Feedback. Give it a second. So for example, the registrant name, organization, it's unclear to me what exactly does the working group propose as a requirement. Or is it no requirement? Is it some requirement? Is it, what is it that we require? So going down this table, you know, some of these, you know, requirements that are missing needs to be filled out, and there's discussion points. Those are mostly raised as questions. So I think those needs to be resolved. Some of these discussion points. Others will be, you know, as long as I have, you know, guidance on those, then I'm very comfortable putting into text. But other than, so that's where I will need guidance from the working group.
Okay, I see that in the chat room here, Edmund is complaining that he's not hearing any sound.
Yeah, we did not link Adobe Connect with the phone call. My apologies. Go ahead, man.
Okay. All right, well, let's start at the top here and go down through the chart. I believe with respect to name in particular, whether it's, you know, org name or registrant name or, you know, all the name things there, that we agreed that the it should be it's freeform text, and the registrant should be able to use whatever language or script is appropriate for their name, whatever they would ordinarily use. I don't think there's any other special requirement. I'm not quite sure what the right way is to say that. I'm using the phrase freeform text with an identified language and script. So we'll have to give some thought to exactly how we want to say that. But I believe that's the requirement. It's kind of open-ended. Any comments from anyone? So does that speak to your question of requirements for the name section, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Now, for the registrar name, going down and looking at the next one here, again, that should be, you know, whatever is the organizational name. That is also a freeform text thing, right? And it's whatever is registered with ICANN. I mean, there must be some kind of way to phrase that. Whatever is the name that they're using as the contracted party to ICANN.
So, for example, for the contracted party for ICANN, they have an English name. Should those be displayed, or should be displayed in the native script of the registrar?
Well, I mean, others may certainly have an opinion. My opinion on this is that it really ought to be tied to the way in which they're going to be known or recognized, right? I mean, they're part of a system which is managed centrally. So the identifiers that are used should be those that are part of that system. So I think the name by which they're known at ICANN, their contracted party, should be the name that's here. I mean, that's what I'm thinking at the moment.
Okay. Right, and know that.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly try it out. If we publish an interim report and, you know, we make a point of getting registrars to talk about it, I mean, I guess I can also imagine someone making a case for saying, you know, I'm a business, I'm going to be known a certain way in my regional area, and when someone does a Whois lookup, I want them to be able to know who I am, you know, in a way that's meaningful to them.
Yes.
But let's hold that back for the moment and see what kind of comments we get. I mean, I don't know. I think we have a rationale for both, but I think sticking to the system is the right way to start, and we'll see what that does.
Okay.
So the address. I think we're fine on the address. We settled on that.
Mm-hmm.
The domain status.
That's the name server status that Naoki is mentioning. It's unclear to me that we settled that.
Any comments from anyone?
Hi, this is Nishit. Can I come in?
Yes, Nishit, please go ahead.
Okay, so is there a bifurcation between what information that does the registrant give and what are the information that other party provides? So if we talk about registrant and registrant name and organization or other name and organization information, so all these information will be provided by registrant in his or our local language. So do we need to specify it in requirements? And what format does it needs to get stored? Is it in single language or in multi-value? Both in local language and also in the common language of script as decided by.
Well, one thing that occurs to me is if it's maintained and stored in whatever is formally defined by the RFCs, I would think that it would certainly be an option to translate that into a local presentation. And I can see where that would be permitted as part of a presentation issue. I think the distinction that I would make is that the requirement should be that it is maintained and stored in the official form defined by the RFCs. Display it. There could be a standard set of translations or even transliterations, if that's appropriate for it. For different languages, and that would certainly be something that could be done as needed for presentation purposes.
Jim, this is Steve, if I may come in.
Please, Steve, go ahead.
I think Nisha's point is really a point that I really struggled, when I put things together. That is the question what do we mean by internationalization versus localization? And in which part of this document, of this working group, is tackling, right? So a name server status, you know, it's one of those. There are other things, for example, you know, it's very similar, you know, when we talk about internationalization, do we mean localization? Or do we mean, you know, just the ability to localize? And then, you know, we don't specify anything else for localization. It's really up to the, you know, end systems to do that. So I think, you know, some discussion in the document along those lines to clearly delineate, you know, where we are tackling would be very helpful. You know, at least to me, you know, to clarify that.
So, Nisha, do you want to comment on what Steve said? Do you agree? Do you want to add to it or anything?
Steve, what I think is currently we are our main focus is for the internationalization of who is registration data. So when we talk about localization, we are targeting about for that particular language or script, and then making this as a internationalized part, we are talking as a whole, including multiple languages or scripts.
So you are saying, you know, I get the what you're. Am I hearing that what you say is our job is to enable for internationalization is to enable localization. Is that right?
Exactly. So what actually internationalization is making a particular application or proposal to cater all of the languages or scripts as of now we are talking about. So if I will make it specific to Devanagari, we are localizing that part to specific to Devanagari. And if we are making that application or proposal specific to Chinese, so we are localizing it that particular script or language. So we are not only talking about localization, but we are talking about the internationalization of for who is registration data.
Right. I get it. So I think that's a very, you know, very important distinction to put it in the document. It's worth some more text to go with it, because if the goal is to internationalize, then what we want to do is to make sure it enables localization, you know, so that has some implications for the elements. Okay, all right, I'll think about next.
Yeah, so any comments from anyone else on this distinction? I think this is an extremely important point. And anyone want to add to this, maybe shape it in any way?
This is Takao. May I comment?
Please, Takao, go ahead.
It's just that the term, you know, globalization, internationalization, and localization can be sort of used in various ways. So I think it does make sense that we put the clarification or definition in the document. And then I still would like to review what's written down. It seems what we just discussed, you know, seems to be in sync with what I understand or what I assume, but I still think it makes sense that we take a look after written down.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Takao. Anyone else? So I agree. This is a really good point. And Steve, if you feel like you've got some understanding here from the discussion, it would be I think it would be excellent to add some text in this document that makes this distinction. I think this actually is also this to me also is motivating me to think that we need a methodology section, because this feels almost like a methodology point.
Yes.
you know, we're sort of defining what our work is. I don't know if that helps you or not. I don't know if you agree or not. I mean, if you don't, that's fine. We'll sort of shape that as we go. But that's something that jumps out at me, too. Any thoughts, Steve?
No, Jim, I agree with you. I think this is an excellent point. The methodology can cover, you know, a section on internationalization versus localization, and a section covers, you know, how we approach categories instead of data elements. You know, and then, you know, other things we may put it in there. Yeah. I agree with you to create a methodology section and have it for this way.
Okay. Any comments on that from anyone else? Okay, so then let's suggest that we do that so you get that as an action, Steve, a new document for us. Now, does that help us to answer the domain status question then? So what then becomes the answer to this the status category and what we do there? I think that answers the question of what to do about status. I think it goes back to what I started with or my response to Noki originally. Would that be correct, or am I not understanding?
I don't know. I would defer this to Noki.
Well, let me state again what I'm proposing, and then folks can react to that. I think in the case of status, it's one of those things where there is a the goal is about enabling localization. I like that phrase, and so you know there's a well-defined standard for exactly what values are supposed to go in status fields, and those values should be what's stored. And separate from that, you know, certainly when it comes to presentation, there's always the opportunity to translate that into something that is more useful in the local region, and that would be a presentation issue. But the requirement should be that there's no specific internationalization requirement. The fact that there's a standard value there means that you can localize it in any way that you need to. When necessary. So that's what I'm suggesting. Maybe you should ask Noki first if that speaks to his comment here, and then the general question to the group here, if anyone has something different than that. So Noki first.
Yes, this is Noki Kambe. I suggest my comment from the discussion point, which is about editing name server status. I think a name server status is not important in this category, and we should focus on domain status. So I suggest that this remove this discussion point. That's all.
Okay. So I think what I heard was that we don't need the discussion point. We don't need to answer that because we're not going to include name server status. Is that what you heard, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just look down this list here. Okay, I can't scroll this document thing anymore. You want to scroll down there some more, Steve, too. Let's see where we have the next discussion point. We only got about 5 more minutes here. Can we cover this next one? This is about email address.
Yeah.
Discussion point. Let me read this again for a moment.
The question here is, when a user submits an internationalized email address, should we also require them to submit a U.S. ASCII address? And the rationale was that the internationalized email address is not so popular around the world. It's a lot of the transfer agent and the user agent, you know, doesn't. So
my response to this is, although it's a valuable discussion point, so there's probably we should probably take this point and talk about it, not leave it as a question, but comment about the fact that there is an issue with U.S. ASCII versus allowing an actual internationalized email address as defined by the standards. And we just call that out for people to be aware of. But it occurs to me that, you know, we shouldn't say any more than the email standards do. And, you know, frankly, people are going to use whatever works for them. So I think that if they have an ASCII address, because even though their language or a script is, you know, well beyond that, but they use an ASCII address because that's what works for them, that's what they'll enter. If they can use an internationalized email address because it works for them, then they'll stick that in. And regardless, as long as it complies with the standards, I don't think that we should speak any more on it. That's just my reaction. Anyone else?
This is Takao. May I comment?
Please, Takao, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not because, like, you know, that it should just work locally, but I agree that we should just put this, you know, refer to the standards. Otherwise, adding an extra, you know, may be an additional confusion here.
So thank you for that. I mean, I do think that the discussion point that's here could be pulled into the discussion in the document as just an observed, you know, usability concern. But again, I think in general, people are going to use what works for them, and so we don't need to be any more restrictive about it. And the standards will speak to interoperability for us, so we don't need to add to that.
Sounds good, Jim.
Okay. Anyone else want to comment? Okay, then let me suggest, as we are nearing the top of the hour here, that we use this as an opportunity to break here, and we'll pick up with the country code stuff here with a revised document next week. Certainly, folks should feel free to follow up on the mailing list with anything at all times. So before I hand it back over to you, Steve, let me ask, is there any other business? From anyone? Okay. Any objections to adjourning from anyone? Then, Steve, back over to you.
Thank you. The action items I noted is to take the feedback from this group and put that in the document. In particular, mostly to create a methodology section talks about, you know, nationalization versus localization, and then to also fill additional details in the proposed requirement section. I will also share it on Google Docs for people to comment. I think at this point, the best comment will be, instead of editorial comments, mostly, you know, high level, you know, this is missing, this is wrong, you know, those type of feedback are most welcome. So those are the action items I take. Did I miss anything? And
sounds good to me.
Then let's take our next call will be next Wednesday, same time to continue to work on the document. Thank you. And goodbye, everyone. And operator, could you stop the recording?